So go with me on this here. As we assess the numbers, 8.8 magnitude earthquake, more than 700 dead, the scale of the disaster in Chile. I was reminded yesterday of the words of Chilean author Roberto Bolaño, who writes about his land and the experience of the unexpected with deep wit and honesty and power, and I suspect maybe some comfort to the people of Chile right now. In By Night in Chile, written as he was dying, Bolaño said this, "I am dying now, but I still have many things to say. I used to be at peace with myself, quiet and at peace, but it all blew up unexpectedly." And yesterday, when we heard this voice on our program talk about the sound of the quake,
the earthquake itself was silent, and that was what was so eerie. I expected a roar. I expected a rumble. It was just silent, rocking earth.
Her voice reminded me again of Bolaño's words. One has a moral obligation to take responsibility for one's actions, and that includes one's words and one's silences, he wrote. Yes, silences, because silences rise to heaven, and God hears them. At the end of his book and his life, Bolaño writes of his land. Sometimes the earth shakes, he says. The epicenter of the quake is somewhere in the north or the south, but I can hear the earth shaking. Sometimes I feel dizzy. Sometimes the quake goes on for longer than usual, and people take shelter in doorways or under stairs, or they rush out into the street. Is there a solution? We're joined now from Santiago by Jonathan Franklin, correspondent for The Washington Post, and also Dr. Arthur Lerner-Lamb, who's a seismologist at the Lamont Doherty Earth Laboratory. First, to Jonathan Franklin, good morning.
Good morning.
I suspect as you talk to people in Chile, they are asking in a much more concrete way, is there a solution to the devastation around them?
Yes, it's true there was silence at first, but now what you hear is kind of the roar of a million voices saying, where's the help? It's been 3 days now, and people are very desperate.
And, you know, we heard out of Haiti during the earthquake a sense of why Haiti, a sense that there's a cloud that hangs over the history of Haiti. There's a historical context to earthquakes in Chile. What are people saying to you?
Most people are saying, damn, that was huge. People are used to earthquakes here, right, but not like this.
And what is the most important issue right now in Santiago?
The most important issue in Santiago is actually organizing the aid and getting it south. The roads are just now being cleared. And southern Chile does not have major cities. Few areas are over 50 or 100,000 people. So we're talking of hundreds of little villages and towns. So it's a logistical nightmare when you think of trying to get fresh water to, say, 500 or 600 small communities.
Jonathan Franklin, correspondent for The Washington Post. Dr. Arthur Lerner-Lamb, a seismologist at the Lamont Doherty Earth Laboratory. Why is it that we seem to know very little about the onset of earthquakes and the dissipation of their energy? I'm reminded of the tsunami predictions that turned out in the Pacific to be not terribly severe at all.
Well, you know, when you talk about the tsunami predictions, actually I think we did quite well. The severity of the tsunami, the height when it reaches land, is very difficult to predict, but the timing is very easy. And just on using a precautionary principle, it pays to pay attention. But we'll get better at that.
But isn't there something spooky about waiting for the time for the waves to land? And then listen to this montage of news reports, predicting the worst, but then the waves came in and there was basically nothing.
They keep sounding the sirens to make sure everyone knows that the waves are on the way.
The tsunami is coming.
Here in Honolulu, you should see something about 30 minutes from now.
Watching and waiting for the waves to appear.
So here we go. Things are officially beginning. We're getting underway.
I know you're a scientist, Dr. Arthur Lerner-Lamb, but it feels there like Mother Nature is holding back some cards.
Well, you know, one would also say that we're not listening to Mother Nature quite enough. This is a little bit of a wake-up call that these things can happen. Scientists may not have been able to predict the height of the tsunami when it reached Hawaii and other islands, but on the other hand, they warn people just in case. And wouldn't you be willing to take out that insurance, move to higher ground? It's a simple thing to do. And suppose it had been worse, what would we be saying now?
Now, as you look at some of the reports coming out of Santiago and Chile, I mean, this was a huge earthquake in terms of the amount of energy spent. Are you seeing that in the damage in the actual buildings?
Well, certainly this event was huge. It was among the top 10 earthquakes ever to be recorded by seismometers. But we're not seeing the extent of damage one would expect from such a large earthquake for two reasons. One, it's a bit offshore. But secondly, Chile has very advanced building codes, and when they were applied, the buildings did quite well in this earthquake.
So this idea, as I read there from Roberto Bolaño, that the notion of the earthquake, the land able to shake at any moment, being bound up in the culture, and makes its way into the building codes and is a form of preventive safety for the citizens.
Absolutely. This notion that there's a cultural response, that there's a cultural awareness of earthquakes, turns out to be important time and time again in society's ability to build resilience.
And Jonathan Franklin, one last question for you before we go. Any sense of the access to Concepcion, which is the closest large population center, to the actual epicenter of the quake offshore?
Two things, John. What we're seeing is that the Navy will start bringing in entire shiploads. That's going to be a lot easier than going by land. So a ship left last night loaded with all sorts of supplies. And second, on the damage in Chile, I think one thing is building codes, but I think Chile really shows that it has a democratic foundation now, because in a lot of countries you can have building codes and you have corrupt officials and stuff falls down. Chile has the building codes, but they also have a sense that this is important so that there isn't corruption. Building inspectors are not being bribed. I think it's really testament that in all of Santiago, not a single building over one story toppled.
Wow, that's incredible. We're joined, we want to thank Jonathan Franklin, correspondent for the Washington Post in Santiago, and Dr. Arthur Lerner-Lamb, seismologist at the Lamont-Doherty Earth Observatory. Thanks to both of you.